like to welcome you to a five-part series on working with monitors. Our sponsor for this series is Affiliated Monitors. Founded in 2004, Affiliated Monitors provides professional, independent integrity monitoring and ethics and compliance assessments nationally and internationally and across all industries. With its knowledge of effective ethics and compliance programs and cultures, Affiliated Monitors is respected for its work as the corporate monitor on matters ranging from multinational corporations to small and mid-sized companies and even individuals. Having served in over 700 monitorships, no one has more experience as an independent monitor than the team at Affiliated Monitors. For more information on how an independent monitor can help improve your company's ethics and compliance program, visit the website of Affiliated Monitors, www.affiliatedmonitors.com. In this five-part series, I visit with Don Stern, the Managing Director, Corporate Monitoring and Consulting Services for Affiliated Monitors, as we take up several interesting topics around working with monitors. On episode one, we take a look at some of the fears and concerns that people have of working with monitors. In episode two, we talk about the positive aspects about working with monitors. In episode three, we consider how monitors go about their jobs, what they actually do. In episode four, we take a look at how regulators use monitors, both in civil actions and in probationary matters. And in our concluding episode of episode five, we take a look at attorneys using monitors to resolve white-collar criminal matters and other matters. It's a fascinating exploration of how to work with monitors. I know you will enjoy it. This series of Working with Monitors is a part of the Compliance Podcast Network. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox. I'm the Compliance Evangelist, and this is episode one of my five-part series I'm doing with Don Stern, the Managing Director of Corporate Monitoring and Consulting Services at Affiliated Monitors. In this five-part series, we're going to take on the general topic of working with monitors. So, Don, welcome, and I look forward to gaining a lot of insight from your years of experience and the work of Affiliated Monitors.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
So on episode one, Don, I wanted to tackle a topic that I think many white-collar defense bar and general counsel, in-house counsel, really struggle with, which is actually just the fear of monitors. And that's something that I have experienced, I have heard, and there are lots of points that are raised, and I thought maybe if we could just, on this opening episode, kind of take some of these head on and really see what, from your perspective, how many of these, I would call them myths, are not correct. So I was wondering if you might be able to talk to us about some of the things you've heard raised as concerns.
Some of the concerns or fear are totally understandable, particularly if a company, whether it's members of the board or the CEO or in-house counsel or outside counsel, if they don't have experience with appreciating and seeing that some of the positives of the use of a monitor or some of the positives of having a third-party independent come in advance to assist them in improving the compliance program. So some of it has to do with the unknown. But they cover a couple of things. One is just simply the cost. You know, they look at the extra costs associated with a monitor. And let's first talk about the monitor, which is typically part of a government settlement or resolution. So there's the cost. There is the fear, sometimes driven by war stories, true or not, that monitors in other situations will have what's called mission creep. That the settlement with the government will focus on A and B. A monitor comes in, and all of a sudden the monitor is looking at C, D, E, and F, and that the monitor's work will expand beyond what is expected and what the parties expect. And then there is some monitors, and this is more particular to who the monitor is as opposed to the process. Some monitors view their role as kind of, you know, I'm in charge and I'm going to tell you what to do and I'm going to turn over every rock and investigate everything and report back to the government. So they operate on a more investigative mode than what we like to think of as a helpful, cooperative, collaborative mode. And then finally, there's just a concern with distraction from the mission of the company. Companies are, if we're talking about a for-profit company, are in the business of selling their services or selling their product, and they are concerned that they will be distracted in a bad way, not in a good way, but distracted from the mission of the company. And we'll get in the other episodes as to why some of those, as you describe, are myths and really don't typically apply to monitorships, and how companies can use a monitorship actually in a very positive way to improve the company.
So Don, one of the things I wanted to tackle was the distinction between a proactive monitorship and one which is part of a settlement with the government on a violation or even a non-prosecution agreement where there's no violation found. How does someone like yourself and affiliated monitors work to keep the work product from becoming available to outsiders? I would assume that if it's a part of a government settlement, you know, that has a whole series of protections that the Department of Justice has articulated in some court filings. But what about in the proactive situation where companies may not want that information to go beyond their four corners or their four offices?
Well, often in the proactive situation, we will be retained and do it kind of under the umbrella of attorney-client privilege. In other words, we'll be retained by, let's say, outside counsel, sometimes inside counsel. And the theory there is not to, you know, circle the wagons and to prevent all of the things that we might find from actually being remediated. But the idea is to open up and have as candid and open a conversation internally within the company as you can. And the goal is to make the company better, to improve compliance and ethics programs. And often the best way to do that is to ensure confidentiality. Now, there have been times when we've acted in that way, and the company then is quite interested in proactively using the changes and the remediation as a way of either persuading the government not to do something or as a way of presenting to the government all of the good things that they've done with the compliance program, including having a third-party independent come in and kind of kick the tires.
Don, is one of the things that you advocate and certainly Affiliated Monitors advocates is having a very open discussion with either the proposed monitor candidate or a monitor to really understand the scope of the assignment?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm constantly surprised that sometimes we'll get have communication with either at the government side or with a company. And the language in the settlement agreement and the scope of what the monitor is expected to do has many ambiguities. Now, some of that is simply the parties not wanting to kind of address certain thing head on as part of the negotiation process. But sometimes it's frankly not really understanding how the monitor works. On occasion, we have been brought in as the parties are negotiating to simply educate people as to what monitors do and how they operate and how our job can be more successful for both sides, both from the government side and also from the company side. So that, you know, we refer to it as sort of the Bible. I mean, we come in and we try to stick to the charge, the mission, the scope that's outlined in the settlement agreement. And when there are ambiguities which come up in the process of our work, which happens, I mean, it's inevitable there are going to be some new things that pop up. You know, we try to work with both sides, not as a mediator, but kind of as a facilitator to have both parties basically come together and to resolve those issues.
Don, I've practiced not quite as long as you have, but close to it. But I was always on the civil side of things, and you come from at least some criminal law experience, worked as a prosecutor and then in private practice before you joined Affiliated Monitors. One of the things I think many people, corporate types, struggle with is if they bring in an AUSA or they bring in someone who's formerly been with Maine Justice, will they have just a prosecutorial mentality or even a gotcha mentality, or will it be something broader, or is that really what you see as having an experienced monitor who understands that concern?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, question, and it's something that I dealt with when I made the shift. I left the last national law firm. I was a partner at a large national law firm. Left about almost 5 years ago. Joined affiliated, and before that, you know, I'd served in the Department of Justice. I served as United States Attorney in Massachusetts for almost 8 years during the Clinton administration. So I had that prosecution experience, and then most of my practice was in the white collar enforcement arena when I left the Department of Justice. For me personally, it was a shift. I had to kind of recalibrate, if you will, how I approached interviews, how I approached, you know, companies, so that I didn't adopt the I'm here to find out who, you know, who's done bad things mentality. I'm here to sort of, you know, ferret out the truth. It was a refocus from understanding all the bad things that have happened, perhaps that a company did, or at least which led to the resolution, and a more forward-thinking, collaborative approach. So I think that's one of the issues, frankly, that in the selection process, particularly the company needs to be asking, which is what's the approach that the monitor is going to take? What's the kind of atmospherics in a meeting or an interview with a mid-level employee in, let's say, a branch office? Is that person going to feel as if they're under attack, or are they going to be kind of brought in to explain all the good things and all the bad things that are going on so that the monitor can basically make some helpful recommendations? It's a change in focus, Tom. I don't think it's rocket science, but it's a change in focus. And I think it's a question that the company needs to ask. And by the way, when we meet as part of any selection process with the government officials, we don't say one thing to one and one thing to the other. We explain that our approach, and we think it's a shared goal by the government and by companies, to make things better on a forward-looking basis. We say we are not here to reinvestigate what you've already investigated. We're here to work with the company to make recommendations and to be an honest broker and report back to you as to how the company is doing.
Well, Don, unfortunately, we're near the end of our time, but we've had a fascinating exploration today, taking head on some of the questions, or at least concerns and fears, that companies, general counsels, and even outside counsel have had about monitors. I look forward to continuing. And tomorrow, in our next episode, we're going to take a look at some of the positive things that monitor brings to an organization. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
This is Tom Fox. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of my 5-part series in working with monitors. If you have any questions of Don, you can reach him at don.stern@affiliatedmonitors.com. I hope you'll join us tomorrow, where we take up another topic of working with monitors. This special series, Working with Monitors, sponsored by Affiliated Monitors, Inc., is a part of the Compliance Podcast Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.